What's up, nerds? We're your hosts. I am Chad.
And I am Jake. This is our weekly podcast where we explore the world of nerd from TV, movies, games, comics, news, and books.
We will give you our opinions, theories, and oftentimes spoilers.
We will also have friends and experts as guests on the show to elaborate further on those topics.
But be prepared. We like to have a few drinks, so buckle up.
If you want to support our show, like, share, and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
You can also become a premium subscriber over at buymeacoffee.com/allthingsnerd.
So let's get into it. This is the All Things Nerd Podcast. Nerd. Welcome, nerds, to the All Things Nerd Podcast, your weekly dive into all things nerd. Chad, I hope you had a good week. That, let's jump right into our first topic, but cheers.
Cheers. Well, my good sir. So for our first topic this week, we're going to talk about episode 6 of season 2, Invincible. It's also kind of like episode 2 of the second half. Spoiler alert, the show's so fucking good.
If you haven't watched it, tune out, tune back in, but...
Yeah, so the episode 5 ends kind of on a cliffhanger with Rexplode, who's become my favorite character.
One of my favorite characters, yeah. For sure, yeah.
With a gun to his head, and he's like, just fucking pull the trigger, you dick.
Pull the trigger!
Yeah.
Where is he? Where's the trigger?
And it picks up like right there.
Yeah.
I was not ready for his brains to be blown out.
We talked about it, and I was like, "Someone's gonna come save him last minute."
Yeah.
Someone's there.
Cecil, another hero.
Someone's gonna come in. I was like,
maybe
Cecil's
Kate
people,
wasn't quite dead. She's gonna split off, and
I was like, something's gonna happen. And you watched it before I did, so yeah. I was watching it in real time and texting you, and I literally texted you, Rex! !! Like, because after he says, just fucking do it, the guy literally does just fucking shoot him in the fucking head.
Yeah, pulls the trigger, yeah. Blows his brains out.
Well,
part of his brains out. Yeah. Part of it, you see some brain yeah. splatter. And there's a gate. Yeah, whatever. But it wasn't enough to kill him?
I'm telling you, man, that the episode before and this episode, Rexplode was God mode.
Oh, yeah. Even with this, because he's like slurring his words.
Yeah.
He's clearly...
His hand has been bitten off.
And using the stump with like the broken bone to... As he just beat the living crap out of the dude that just shot him in the head. Oh, absolutely. I mean,
this is my favorite show on TV right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that, like, there was such a long break between the two. So, like, we didn't get to express how much we love the show for, like, fucking 2 years. But this is my favorite TV show. The yeah. only reason I haven't bought the comics yet, or the graphic novels yet, like there's a set online we could buy all of them. I haven't done it because I don't want to spoil it for myself because I started watching the show before I read the comics.
Yeah. I might get there before the show like wraps, but it's going to take a lot of self-control that the second that I start seeing the story as to where the show is to stop.
Yeah.
And I'm not there yet. I don't trust myself yet, so I haven't. Yeah. But I want to.
One of the best things that happened in this episode, Amber and Mark finally break up because let's be honest, she sucks dicks at being a girlfriend.
Do they officially break up, or it's like, yeah, we need to talk, and then
I
they talk
think
to
so
other
because he
people?
tells, I think so because he tells Rex, and then that's how Adam Eve finds out that they're not together anymore.
That's right. Just their
Yeah.
breakup conversation is off
Yeah.
screen.
Which
Oh,
is good.
that's right. Yeah.
She's kind of been a pain in the ass.
She's a little gaslighty, a little manipulative.
Well, the one,
But then
yeah.
he's like, "But I feel so bad for doing this." And it's like, "Then stop doing it."
Was like, well, the one that really like turned me against her was in the first season, when they're in wherever, where the android people attack,
Yeah,
and
where
Mark
they end
like,
up going to college, so.
yeah, and Mark ends up, runs away, turns into invincible, comes back, saves the day. Amber bitches him out for leaving. She's like, "You fucking left me, you coward!" Like, blah blah blah. And at the end of the episode, he finally decides to tell her that he's invincible, and she's like, "I know you're invincible, Mark." And it was like, "Then why the fuck did you call me a coward for running away and bitch me out for leaving you? I
Yeah,
fucking didn't. I
to
saved
hide
your
my
ass."
identity to, I don't know, save the people I was with,
Yeah.
and then turn around and save the people I, yeah.
Yeah, she just sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer, 'cause like it's not. I the actress that plays her, Zazie
Zazie
Beetz. I
Beetz,
love
yeah.
Zazie Beetz. That's Domino in Deadpool 2, if anybody is curious who voices that. But yeah, she's fantastic.
Also,
But
the neighbor in The Joker.
oh, that's right, that he
With
like
Joaquin.
fantasizes like
Yeah.
that he's with. Yeah. Yeah, she's great. The character sucks, and she's supposed to suck, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, isn't Robert Kirkman? I mean, he's an executive producer and writer on the show, and he's the one who wrote the graphic
Yeah.
novels. So that's how this character is supposed to be. Can you just keep going?
Keep going.
Sorry, you threw me off there. That fine. Fuck it. Go on, Jake.
You go at the fucking Martian squid things.
So, the last episode we see. The Guardians of the Globe plus Adam Eve. Plus Mark, because he's kind of not fully there. Not fully a part of the team. Whatever. They're fighting the Martian sequids, the little squid things that have taken over that astronaut. And you think that they win. Right? They finally.
There's a cliffhanger there too in the last episode.
Yeah, and then at the start of this episode, it gets really intense because, like, Eve gets attached to one of the sequids, but Robot or Rudy or whatever he's calling himself now these days, that is not me being a dick. That is literally how Rex refers to him. Help save the day by using his tech to create basically an EMP device to disrupt these things. Whatever. They get out, they separate all the humanoids that are attached to the sequids, whatever.
Including
Including the astronaut from Earth that was left behind on the Mars mission. I forgot to.
season one,
Yeah, from
but
season one.
yeah.
Including him. And he's kind of freaking out. You know, he doesn't know how much time has passed. He goes back to his apartment, which is where the Martian that kind of like assumed his identity has been living. And he's like, this fucking guy just like takes over my life, trashes my apartment while I've been in hell, whatever. And then he starts to like gag and throws up into the sink. And then there's a sequid that must have been like inside of his
Yeah.
body. gross. Alien. Bleh.
That would have been way cooler.
Yeah.
But
It would have.
yeah.
Bit derivative, don't you
That was gonna
think?
say, like, copyright, you know.
And then it reattaches itself to the
Poor
astronaut. Like,
guy.
this dude cannot catch a fucking break.
He was like free for like a day. And he's like, "Oh, I finally get my life back." And then he throws up and another thing attaches itself to his face and takes over his body. It's
Oh,
like,
it's so
fuck.
terrible.
Well, there's the nanny. Right? Were you gonna say something different than the nanny?
No, I was just gonna say that, we have some theories going forward for the show that kind of touch on some of the plot points that we didn't go as in depth in just now. So, yeah, the nanny. Talk about the nanny.
Nanny. Well, there's a excuse me. Mark's mom is trying to find a nanny for his half brother. And so far they've been like people that spies that work for Cecil. And she's like, "I fucking know that you're a spy for Cecil. You can't have the job." And then like the last lady that shows up is like, "Just so you know, I work for Cecil." And blah blah blah. "I will only work for you. I don't give a shit about Cecil." But it's like, seems too good to be true kind of situation, and she probably is a spy for Cecil, but they were like, "Let's try a different approach," because she knows already that the rest of these are spies and we can't trick her, so let's just be upfront with her. You know what I mean? I just feel like it's too good to be true. I think there's
Yeah.
going to be a big, like, confrontation between Cecil and Mark at some point.
Oh, I'm sure that there definitely will be. My theory, though, is actually about the nanny, is because she's been a nanny for a bunch of like superpowered children and things like that. They even say that in the episode. I don't think she's human. Part of me thinks that she might actually be a Viltrumite spy.
Oh, that would be cool.
But I don't know. There's, based on everything that the rest of the show has kind of told us, is that's not how the Viltrum Empire, like, sends people to planets to acquire. But I also don't think that this nanny lady is entirely human. I think that she's at least a super or enhanced
Yeah.
in her own right. And
And we
she's
got to see.
might be fed
Sorry.
up with Cecil.
Could be. We also got a very quick glimpse at Omni-Man, who's still alive and has not been assassinated yet or executed yet. Sorry, wrong choice of words. Apparently the Viltrumites want him to be at full strength. It's the Viltrumite way. Before they execute. So, and as we know, last ending of the first part of this season, he got severely fucked up. So, he's
Yeah.
not quite there yet.
And the his jailer slash doctor that's trying to help him get back to full strength just to kill him. So weird. It's a weird concept for a prisoner, but whatever. He also gives him the option of basically like repenting and helping them lead the charge, the Viltrumites, in the charge on Earth and pushing forward the Empire. Because he's like, you've conquered hundreds of planets. Like, why let this be your legacy? Don't let this be this the stain that ruins everything. Just repent and promise to help us moving forward. And
Ten Hail Viltrumites, and you are forgiven.
what?
You said repent, and I said,
Oh,
ten
ten
Hail
hail.
Viltrumites, and you are forgiven.
Oh, sorry. I didn't grow up Catholic. I didn't have to ever do that. No. I expected
No.
you to be quicker on a witty and offensive response.
No.
we're recording. That's why you didn't.
So, I did have one more thing before we probably move on from this topic. It is a very important thing, is the books. Mark's dad tells him to read his books. And it was super confusing at first, but now, as Mark has been reading the books, what we're realizing is that the books are real. They're things that actually had happened, and what they are their his dad's travels through the universe, and finding certain species in those books that were able to kill Viltrumites. So this is huge in the potential upcoming war. The potential upcoming war between Earth and the Viltrumites, because now they can recruit different species of people or aliens or whatever around the universe that are able to put up a fight against the Viltrumites. Because you see a scene in this episode where one of these things easily kills a Viltrumite and fucking tosses Omni-Man salad for like a minute.
And I mean, in the it's more like a mind picture as Mark is like reading the books, but we do get Alan the alien coming down to visit Mark and be like, come on, let's go. We gotta go to the council or whatever so that we can start planning our rebellion against Viltrum, whatever. And Mark's like, I can't go, but I think that my dad left these things and told me to read these as a way to prepare. And I think these can help you. And Alan is like, he sees one book's called like the Space Rider. And he's like, oh, the Space Ranger. And he's like, no, it's the Space Rider. He's like, yeah, on the book, but like the Space Ranger is an actual like intergalactic legend. Which reinforces that these books are based on, as you said, like
Reality,
his
yeah.
actual Omni-Man's actual travels throughout the cosmos. And that's really rad. I really hope that they find the Space Ranger with his gun that can just like obliterate. Be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Or finding those monsters. Like, I don't
That would
know.
be cool. But how do you recruit those unless they talk? Like, that would be cool. They seemed like just kind of beasts in the ep in that very short amount of time we got to see them, but yeah.
Alan's the bridge because he has
Oh
that implant so that he can
yeah.
speak
Communicate, yeah.
telepathically, so that
Communicate.
you don't have to use words. Like, it's more like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. This show
This
is so rad.
episode got me pretty amped up.
Yeah. Same, but you know what gets me more amped up? Is this really rad energy drink that has. No, you pass it up so I could lay up. really awesome energy drink with 0 calories, 0 sugar, and 0 crash. It's called Raise Energy. And if you don't like energy drinks, I mean, that's totally fine. But they do have other things from protein-packed supplements, desserts, even some plant-based options, which is great for our veggie friends like us. Listen up, learn how to save 15%. We'll be right back with you with some trivial nerd suit. What's up, nerds? I wanted to take a minute and talk to you about Raise Energy, an incredible energy drink that provides max energy with 0 crash. Raise Energy takes a giant leap of faith with instilling a high-quality formula to bring a powerful yet sustained energetic experience to help you push your workouts and focus to the next level. Perfect for anyone at any time, empowered by their refresh formula technology, Raise Energy delivers a performance-enhancing energy drink that aids in multiple different categories that include targeted focus,
better recovery time, improved clean energy levels, and a boost in stamina and hydration. But most importantly, every can of Raise Energy has absolutely zero calories, zero sugar, and zero carbohydrates to give you a smarter and healthier option. So don't settle for an energy drink that contains more sugar and carbohydrates than you can count. Instead, head over to repsports.com. That's repsports.com and use the promo code NERDPODCAST at checkout for 15% off your order. Or if you don't know what you want, go ahead and click the link that's in the description to get a $50 sample pack for free. All you do is you cover the cost of shipping. Again, make sure you use promo code NERDPODCAST at checkout to let them know that we sent you.
All right, it is time for Trivial Nerd Suit. This week's question is for Chad and is provided by Marty over at digicattech.com. If you would like to submit a question if you would like to submit a question to stump one of us, you can do that by reaching out to us on Instagram over at All Things Nerd Pod, and send Chad a message if you're trying to stump me, or send me a message if you're trying to stump Chad. We will have a way for you to send a question to stump both of us in the near future. We'll touch on that later. Chad, are you ready?
I guess as ready as I'm gonna be.
So here's your question.
I don't know.
This question, basically, you have to try to guess the movie based on the information that I'm giving you. Okay. In this 2006 American adult animated science fiction thriller film, which explores themes of identity, deception, and drug addiction in a near-future dystopia, what is the title of the movie where the undercover agent struggles with his own addiction while trying to infiltrate the drug underworld, all while navigating a world of high-tech surveillance and moral ambiguity?
Oh, I have an idea, and I don't know if I even have the title 100%. Does this movie have like RDJ and Keanu Reeves in it?
I mean, I'm not gonna do that because why?
Okay. I don't know if this is it Stark Darkly?
Stark Darkly?
I know the film, but I'm pretty sure I have the title.
You got the title fucked up. But that is the film. It's called A Scanner Darkly.
Scanner Darkly. Yeah. Stark, RDJ.
You did better than me. I fucking guessed Minority Report.
Not with animated. With
Tom Cruise. Though. Not animated. I know, I missed that part.
That would have been my guess if the word animated was not in there.
Yeah, I think I missed the animated part. Because Marty sent it to me, he was like, he didn't send me the answer right away, and he was like, you guess. And I was like, I think Blade Runner was up there for me. I was like, Blade Runner or Minority Report, but I think I missed the animated part of it, and that's why.
And it's a unique style of animation.
And I've only seen A Scanner Darkly one time, and it was probably when it came out. 2005 was like a million years ago for me. It's half my life ago.
Yeah, I was in high school when I watched it, and I don't remember a lot of it, and I don't think I even finished the movie.
I couldn't tell you anything about it because I watched it when it came out. I graduated in 2005, so it came out a year. So I was like 18, 19 when that, I'm almost 37.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie since then.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. I was, when the movie came out, I was a sophomore.
But you got it. That's amazing. Because I didn't, you were worried because I told you what the topic was going to be. And you were worried because, no offense, I'm a bit more of a movie buff than you are.
Yeah.
And you got it and I didn't. So
I have a lot of comfort films.
Applause.
The thing that helped was the animated
part. Aspect. Yeah.
Otherwise,
I think I missed mean, that. That's how I feel dumb. There's
a handful of movies that it could be if it was live action.
Yeah.
Yay.
Good job. I like that idea of doing the movie thing. I'm a little bummed out, but also I'm cutting myself some slack because I've only seen it once and it was like 20 years ago. So, but I am bummed out that I didn't get it.
But if you missed the one keyword that helped me, because I would have never gotten it because, again, I saw it once and I did not finish it because I was young and I was watching it at a friend's house and then we decided to do something else like drugs. you know, I mean, no.
Drugs are bad.
Okay. Yeah, that was the one thing that helped. When you started and you're like, 2006, and I was like, oh, what a bad time for my memory. while you are sending Marty over at Digicat Tech an update to let him know that I got it out of pure luck, I was hoping for a hint to help solidify it, and then you're like, I'm not giving you that, and I was like, I have to go with this.
Solidified.
let's talk about some nerd news.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of trailers this past week.
Well, we did.
From movies, shows, and one that I'm really excited for because I love video games.
Porn. Oh, yeah.
Unsaid. Unspoken truth. we got a trailer for Marvel's new video game called Marvel 1943, which is World War II era based. Captain America encountering the Black Panther. This looks sweet.
It looks pretty good.
There has been, if you look online, a couple big scenes from the official trailer versus what was shown at like conventions, where in the official trailer, the Black Panther is it? I don't think it's T'Chaka. I think it's his father. I could
1943. It would have to be T'Chaka, right? No.
Yeah, it could.
I guess because. No.
It depends on if it is MCU timeline or comic timeline.
No, I think you're right. Because, I mean, just putting my own, whatever, like my grandpa was in World War II.
Yeah.
My dad wasn't, but then I'm third generation. So then, yeah, T'Challa would be third generation. So
yeah,
T'Chaka would have. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Unless they're going off of comics, like the comic timeline, in which case it could be T'Chaka, but. We don't know yet because they don't say. They just reference the Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
The game is built on, I think it's Unreal 5 engine, which is the latest generation of gaming development. Those of you that don't know what Unreal is, it's video game processing and graphics and things like that. This looks so good. The voice mapping, lip movement, everything is insane. It looks like a high quality CGI movie. How the gameplay translates to that, we've yet to see. We haven't seen any gameplay videos, but I'm so excited for this. I almost said movie for this game.
Also, we got, it's been a long awaited because the first season hit so hard, but House of the Dragon, which is the prequel to Game of Thrones, season 2 has released trailers. And I say trailers because they released a trailer for both sides of the dilemma that is presented in season 1. So there's the green trailer, which is basically the side of, oh, I should have looked up names.
The Hightowers, Alicent, the ones that currently hold
yeah.
the throne.
Alicent was who, yeah. And then the black trailer is from Rhaenyra, right? And
yes.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's right.
Is from their like point of view. So I think the black trailer looks way fucking cooler. Mm-hmm. But either way, I mean, it's the same show. We're excited about this. This is going to be so fucking good. Yeah. I was so stoked about it when they said 2 years. It comes out in June, by the way.
Yeah.
when they said 2 years for the next season, I was so bummed out. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? But it went by pretty quick.
Has it been 2 years?
I think that. I think Nicole and I watched it when we first moved in here, and we've been here for over 2 years now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you team green or team black?
Team black. Come on. I'm not here for the incest part of it, but I mean the characters are better written. I do think so, and everybody that listens to this knows that I love a good villain. And the kid with the eye patch, man, I want to see what's going on with that kid.
Yeah.
He's definitely, and I think that he's leaning into just based on the trailer, rather than, because we know in the season finale of the first season, when his dragon eats fucking Rhaenyra's youngest son, he's telling his dragon no. He's like yelling no, and when it happens, so he didn't want that to happen. He was just trying to scare the piss out of this kid. But in this season, it looks like he's leaning into that and like being like, okay, yeah, I did it on purpose, you know.
Yeah.
So I want to see how that character development goes, because I think he's just going to become a really big bad guy, but also I think he's a little bitch. And I think, because in the trailer he tells somebody that he embraces a fight between his uncle, which is Matt Smith's character, and like we know that that's not going to end well for you. Yeah. He's going to whip your ass.
The only thing that he has going for him in a battle with Matt Smith is that his dragon is like twice the size.
Yeah.
But you get them on the ground and no dragon, you don't stand a chance.
Exactly, yeah.
Especially
so I'm curious
if you're
to see
trying
how that
to
plays
look
out.
Left.
Yeah. Like, it's like Joffrey challenging Jon Snow to a fight.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. You ain't gonna win that shit.
Yeah, if it's just straight one-on-one, there's nothing yeah. there.
Anyways. Looks yeah. great. Can't wait. June 16th, I think, was it? I know it's
Ooh,
in June, but
I
forget the actual
the
date.
I thought it was like
Ooh,
the,
I knew there the was a 6 in there somewhere.
The first Sunday, if I have to guess.
It's either cause... the 6th, the 16th, or the 26th.
Yeah, one of them. They're all there. They all happen in that month. we also got a trailer for Star Wars The Acolyte. This looks so rad. So this is at the Rise of the Sith, Old Republic Star Wars, which mm-hmm. is something that we've never seen in live action. And other than books, I haven't seen a lot of it even in like other media from games, mm-hmm. At least widespread media. This looks so cool.
Yeah. We also, I mean, Daphne Keene is in this, which is awesome because we love Daphne Keene. We Hell want yeah. more Daphne Keene. if you don't know who that is, she played X-23 in Logan. And she is in his Dark Materials seasons 1, 2, and 3. And hopefully in Deadpool 3, reprising her role as X-23.
That
Didn't
would be
mean for
rad.
That to rhyme. Eminem, you can take that.
but also, Carrie Ann Moss
mm-hmm.
is a big part of it. And Amanda Stenberg. For those of you that think that I just stumbled over my words and don't know who this actress is, her name is Amanda Stenberg. Looks menacing as fuck. I think that from everything that we've seen, that she's going to be on the side of the Sith rising.
Turned good, do you think, at the end?
I hope not.
Yeah,
Just seems like a very overdone trope. Like, let her be menacing through and through.
Looks fucking sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to fly through these a little bit because we got to go soon.
Yeah.
There is the Bill Skarsgård, The Crow trailer dropped. I don't know. I mean, it looks gory. It looks fun. I'm going to watch it. The Crow has been redone so many fucking times. I'm a little meh about it, but I'll watch it.
And because it's been done so many times, I don't take to heart the original writer, director, his criticism of this film. Because he's like, you're tainting Brandon Lee's legacy. And I was like, but there's been eight other The Crow projects since then. So, where were you on those? Was it because you were involved in those?
The other ones were terrible. Oh, my God. Yeah. They were so bad. Don't get me wrong. And if you want to fight me on this, anybody listening, you can fight me on it. The original was fucking terrible. But it was fun and nostalgic. And when you're like a emo kid and a movie like that comes out, you fucking love it. That's what that movie was. It was fantastic. Brandon Lee tragically died during the filming of that movie, which just made it all that much more I don't know how to say it without being offensive. I love Brandon Lee.
Important and cementing in the cult following. Yeah.
It's a fun movie. It is a fun movie. I've personally seen it fucking 10 times, maybe more. Great movie. The remakes, not good. Not fucking one of them. So in this one...
Three different TV shows, two or three other movies.
I was actually kind of stoked about hearing about this. But the trailer has got me a little not as stoked. Just because, I mean, he looks like fucking Post Malone or like a mumble rapper. He's got face tattoos and dumb shit like that. And I'm
That was not the way I was going to go with it. I was going to say he looked like Jared Leto's Joker.
Oh, yeah, the makeup and stuff. But yeah.
Yeah.
If you know anything about it, The Crow is it's a guy and his girlfriend. They get attacked on their not wedding night, but he proposes to her. They get attacked. They kill him and rape and murder his girlfriend. And then he comes back to life from a crow or raven or a crow that carries his soul for him so that he can't be killed. But if you kill the crow that's carrying his soul, then you could kill him. That's how the original went. I don't know if that's how this one will go, but it does look that way because he gets shot in the chest with a shotgun five times and he's still fighting. So I assume that's the way this one's going. It looks like it. I mean, graphics wise, it's probably going to be awesome just because we've come a long way since. And that movie, even back then, was under budgeted, clearly, since somebody got shot with a real bullet or a projectile, one of the two. Same thing that happened to
the wad came out of the gun. What is really cool, and it doesn't have anything to do with The Crow, but the stunt coordinator on The Crow. Was so ridden by guilt, and he's gone on to direct and make countless movies that have made tons of money, and he refuses to even use blanks now because of it. You might know his work from John Wick to John Wick 2 to John Wick 3 and the fourth one. Same guy. And they don't use blanks or anything like that,
which is something that you and I had talked about when Alec Baldwin had happen. We were like, why even fucking have anything in the gun at all? Just fucking have nothing in there, pull the trigger and add the sound effects later. We have the technology to do that, and you put zero lives at risk.
Yeah.
Point in case, John Wick 1-4.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Exactly. We also got a teaser for Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Woo. I'm stoked. I loved this movie when I was a kid.
I don't know a whole lot about the plot point of it, other than something happens in the family, all three generations, so Winona Ryder. I always forget her name, but you would know her from, well, the original Beetlejuice, Home Alone.
Catherine O'Hara.
Thank you. And Jenna Ortega, so all three generations, they move back to that house. And shenanigans are bound to happen.
Yeah.
I'm stoked for it. I love the first one.
Yeah. Michael Keaton, they show Michael Keaton very briefly as Beetlejuice. But obviously
now he's got more scruff.
But with the amount of like makeup and stuff like that, like, I mean, he just looks perfect.
Yeah. He looks more disheveled, which is crazy.
This is one of those, like, we're going to make you wait 30 years and then make a sequel to a movie. I did do the math on that, so I could be very wrong. But this one I'm excited for.
It might be longer.
Probably.
Late 80s, mid to late 80s?
Yeah. But oftentimes, I'm not. I'm like, oh, what a cash grab. I don't want to see that shit. Yeah. I want to see this. This looks awesome.
Speaking of cash grabs, we didn't write this one down, but I guess Happy Gilmore 2 got greenlit.
Yeah.
And that that's on the flip side of this, where that just seems like just a cash grab.
Everything Adam Sandler has done outside of, like, Righteous Gemstones.
Uncut Gems.
Was it Unright Gems? What'd you say?
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. What the fuck did I call it?
Righteous Gemstones?
God damn it. That's a TV show with Danny McBride. I mixed it up. Wow. Yeah,
Uncut TV Gems? Show. Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. That movie is super good. So, like, the movies that he's not producing himself are really bomb, but then the Gilmore production, Happy Madison Productions, those movies are just trash. And
I'm wondering who Kevin James is going to play in Happy Gilmore 2.
Who gives a shit?
Also, we're not going to get into this one, but Godzilla X-Con, Kong, X-Con, yeah.
Comes out this week.
Comes out this week.
We will be seeing it probably the day after this episode of our podcast releases.
Yeah.
Right? Thursday we're going to go see it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be bigger Jaws. Well, we know it's bigger Jaws. Trailers don't... Some trailers don't hide things anymore. What else?
Aaron Taylor Johnson, rumored as of right now, he hasn't accepted, but rumored to be our next Bond. James Bond, that is.
I see what you did there.
I'm okay with it. I still think progressively Idris Elba would have been the best fucking option, but they're going for a younger, I get it, Idris. Black don't crack, he looks great. He'd probably do great for the next 10 years. But I get that they're going for a younger joke,
but you get to say it. I said I wanted to make that joke, but like you can get away with saying that joke.
Well, I'm not even saying it disrespectfully. I mean, I don't even know how old he is. He's old enough to have more grays than me. I know he's older than me, and he looks fantastic. I mean, that's one of my girlfriend's crushes is him.
50?
You know. I love Idris. He's got a deep voice with that accent. He's very in shape. I think he would do a very, very good job as James Bond. And it would be cool to see a African-American James Bond. But I will take Aaron Taylor Johnson, I guess.
Yeah. He's 52.
Yeah.
And then also is it 100% confirmed or is it still
works? I've seen multiple things about it today. It definitely is.
That Seth Rogen is going to be behind a Venom animated,
writing and producing.
Yeah, an animated project though for Sony, that will be R-rated, and rumors are that Philip Lord might be the helm for directing it, which would be sweet.
You didn't say what it is yet.
Venom.
You didn't say that though.
You said it. I did right away. But
oh, did you? Yeah, I missed it. Yeah. I was like,
a Venom animated project from Sony.
I missed it. My bad. I thought you were just like, sounds like Seth Rogen's going to be behind this, and it's going to be R-rated, and blah blah blah. And I'm like, say what it's about.
say that thing out loud.
My bad. My bad.
And then you were the one that was telling me about this. Oh.
Guillermo del Toro is, it's coming soon apparently, is making a Frankenstein movie, live-action Frankenstein movie. The cast list for this movie is amazing. It's Christian Bale. I don't know who's playing who, so I don't want to speculate. But Christian Bale, Andrew Garfield, Oscar Isaac, Mia Goth, and Christoph Waltz. Those are the names that I know, that we know as of right now, that are attached to this project, and holy fucking shit, that cast is amazing. Mm-hmm. Who would you want to play who?
Well, I think Christoph Waltz should be Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's probably... Well, and...
Oh, you froze for a second.
And this is supposed to be a two-part series, so it's supposed to... So did you. Oh. Yeah. It's supposed to be Frankenstein and the Bride of Frankenstein as a two-part series, the two-part movie. So I'm assuming Mia Goth is playing Bride of Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Christoph Waltz clearly has got to be Dr. Frankenstein. I think Oscar Isaac would be the best choice for...
The monster?
The monster, yeah. I know the picture I sent you had Christian Bale, but I think that's just somebody just made that. That has nothing to do with... You know what I mean? I think Oscar Isaac would play it better, and I'm only basing that off of his portrayal as Apocalypse in X-Men. I think he would make a good
Frankenstein. I thought you were going to go Moon Knight on that one because of being able to switch between emotions, personalities, like, on a dime. Because being the monster, you know, experiencing so much in such a short time period, and he's pieced together from multiple individuals.
I think he would do good as that. And then Oscar that Isaac leaves Christian Bale and Andrew Garfield. I'm thinking Andrew Garfield as maybe
Igor.
The henchman. Yeah,
Igor. That would be so rad.
But then Christian Bale's got to be like the cop or detective or whoever is like hunting him or whatever.
Which I could see, because in Pale Blue Eyes, being the detective that's a little not corrupt, but self-motivated and things like that, I'm all for all of that.
Any of that could be the other way around. I have no idea. And I would be fine with any of that because that cast is fantastic. I don't give a shit. I'll watch it no matter what. But yeah, that's coming. So, yay, horror movies.
Between those things, I think Christian Bale and Oscar Isaac could, based on what you said, could very easily be swapped.
Yeah.
And I would be stoked for either. Another thing is X-Men 97... dropped this week on Disney Plus, and there's rumors that we might see some crossovers like we did back in the original series. You know,
there's almost a confirmation of it in the first episode.
Yeah, a flash of the Daily Bugle. Is that's what you're talking? Yeah,
it's a newspaper comes across the screen, and it says Daily Bugle on it, which we know is Spider-Man. So
that would be incredible. Also, I mean, the first two episodes dropped, and the animation is slightly different, but it still feels true.
In most aspects of it, yes.
Yeah, they did. They did decake a lot of Rogue. Our favorite caked up characters, Rogue.
It's a bummer.
That
one wasn't intended.
What?
Aspects was intended. That pun, aspects. But then I said it was a bummer, but that one wasn't intended.
Bum.
Bum.
But we do get two episodes. A lot of people are freaking out over it, forgetting that it's based in the 90s. It's literally called X-Men 97. Like, Gambit wearing a crop top. I don't know if you watched anything from the 90s. A lot of fit dudes wore crop tops.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they kind of hint that there might have been a little bit of love, extra love, between Xavier and Magneto. You know, some spicy things about constantly being in each other's minds and loving each other.
Oh, see, I got that from Magneto and Rogue, not...
There might be Magneto some and... bisexual energy going on. Either way, it is hinting at some spice, but it's not all there.
I don't need the layup, bro. I had one already. I had one already. You had one already planned? I had one in the chamber, man. You fucked it up. You fucked it up. But speaking, I was going to go with the crop top. I was going to be like, eh, people have been getting a little mad that Gambit's dressing a little spicy, but, you know. Anyways, you ruined it.
We'll continue.
Speaking of spicy, sponsor number two is Crybaby Craig's Hot Sauce. It's a pickled habanero and garlic hot sauce that goes on practically anything. Listen up, we'll tell you more about it.
Hey, you nerds. Do you love spice? Supporting small businesses? What about enhancing the flavor of your favorite foods? If you said yes to any of those, our good friends over at Crybaby Craig's have the perfect solution for you. Crybaby Craig's is a pickled habanero and garlic hot sauce that goes perfectly with your favorite foods, adding the perfect amount of spice and enhancing the flavor of everything it touches. Started in Minneapolis by Craig back in 2012, Crybaby Craig's has become a Minneapolis and Minnesota staple in the sauce world. So head over to crybabycraigs.com and order yours today.
Okay, friends, now we're going to talk about Ghostbusters, the Frozen Empire, now in theaters. Spoiler alert. That's enough time. Jake, what are your immediate thoughts on this movie?
I mean, I liked it, but it wasn't like a blockbuster movie, in my opinion. It was about as good as the first one with Paul Rudd, or with the same cast, I should say.
Yeah.
It was about as good. There are parts of it. It is funny. It's really funny. Excuse me. You go, I got a cough, and it's like...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like you were saying, it's about as good. It seems like I feel like this one didn't have as strong of a story as the last one.
Mm.
So they relied more heavily on, like, their humor.
Yeah.
Not saying that any of the previous Ghostbusters before it were painstakingly serious, but it relied a lot on the humor and, like, the fanfare. I mean, they even poked at was it Ice Cube doing the theme song, to the point where Paul Rudd quotes it, much like you and I do when we're talking and someone makes a reference and then we start just, like, speaking in song lyrics. And
there's,
yeah, and Slimer.
But they didn't really even do anything with Slimer. I thought they were gonna, like, do more with him, and they didn't do shit with him. That was kind of lame.
Yeah, there was a part where, because Slimer obviously eats everything, and there's, like, they call it a possessor, kind of like a poltergeist. And I figured, oh, Slimer's going to come and eat it, and then that will free up that problem.
Mm-hmm.
But Slimer like eats it, and then it just goes somewhere else. And I was like, then why is Slimer here? They don't do anything.
Slimer was like a huge like part of the Ghostbusters, part of the original Ghostbusters at that. So it was kind of a bummer that they haven't introduced Slimer until
Was he in the first one or just the second one? I don't it's been a long time since I've
seen him. In the original Ghostbusters movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the second one, I think he came in.
Okay.
So it was like, it's like a weird, it's like
on the nose there.
Yeah, like, how did the original Ghostbusters not know about this? Like, and now that Ben Wolfhard's character, like, finds Slimer, and you're like, oh, cool. Like, this is good. I want to see this play out. And then they never played it out. And it was like, oh.
Yeah.
That was dumb. Yeah. And they put him in the trailer like he was going to be a big deal, and they just never did anything with him.
Yeah.
Stupid.
And there was a part in this where, I should have had this pulled up. McKenna Grace's character becomes friends with a ghost.
Was it Chloe, right? The ghost?
What was... I'm pulling it up right now. Where is she on the cast? Melody.
Melody.
Played by Emily Aylin Lind. But McKenna Grace, who plays Phoebe Spengler, separates her like spirit essence from her body so that she can be closer to her friend. And you're like, is this like a romantic thing? Is it just because she's so lonely sort of thing? They left it very open-ended, which is totally fine. But that was literally the plot point of unleashing the big bad.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like poorly written.
Yeah.
Like this big bad is supposed to be like super evil, and he can't possess ghosts, so he needs to possess a human, but can't possess her as a human until she's a ghost.
But other like ghosts in the movies can possess humans.
Yeah. I mean,
like weaker ghosts.
Yeah. And it just seemed like it was half written, which was a bit of a bummer. But the movie itself had a bunch of fanfare, which
was fun. I liked the movie.
Yeah, I'm not trying to shit all over it because I enjoyed it, and
I have a qualm too.
Everyone in it, yeah, go for it. Explain your qualm. I'm
trying to remember my qualm. I thought you had more to say. What was my qualm?
Was it Kumail's?
Oh, the fucking airbender shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck, man. I love Kumail Nanjiani. He has got a part in this movie where he is a fire manipulator or whatever. Fire master, I think.
Yeah.
And, it's literally like The Last Airbender, where he can like control fire, and there's like a showdown at the end where he's like bending fire while the main bad is bending ice, frozen water. Don't like that.
Yeah. It.
Plus, why did they do the frosted tips? Come on. Come on, Kumail.
I mean, in the grand scheme of it, I don't have a lot of issues with the movie that got in the way of my enjoyment.
Right. I enjoyed the movie thoroughly. I even, like, left the movie saying very good things about it. Because Nicole and I always like review the movies like on the way home.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was very funny. It was fun. The graphics were good. Like, it had that like soul of the originals. You know, original characters were in this movie. Bill the ones Murray, that are still alive, anyway.
Dan
you know,
Aykroyd, literally all of them that are still alive.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Ernie Hudson, has a very big part of it. Even Annie Potts is back. Like, come on.
I think when we were watching, the first time Bill Murray comes on screen, I just do it all the time now. I literally, like,
Zombieland reference. I love it.
And I did it, and then Nicole goes, "That's on me. That was a bad joke."
The thing is with Emily Aylin Lind's character Melody, is she has like a matchbook with one match left, and I was like, oh my god, that's going to be the thing that saves it, and then she like double crosses, and you're like, yeah, she's going to come around because she has the matchbook, and even in the opening sequence they talk about fire and ice. And I was like, that
ham and cheese.
That's
ham and cheese.
If you know, you know. And if you don't,
watch New Girl.
Yeah. Overall, you'd recommend this movie? Because I would.
I would sell this movie. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Fun. I'll watch it again when it comes up.
Is it cinematic magnificence? No.
Is it Gladiator? No.
Is it a Ghostbusters movie?
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah.
Enjoy it. Like,
it was fun.
Yeah. Check it out.
There's a ghost. This is ectoplasm.
Anything else that you want to say about this before we...
No.
Okay, then let's go ahead and close out this episode.
But before we close out this episode, we are going to talk about our honorable mentions. Chad, what do you got?
Well, because of X-Men 97 and just finishing the original animated series before the reboot, continuation, whatever you want to call it, I've been on an X-Men kick. So I watched X-Men Wolverine Origins. Forgot how sloppy of a movie that was.
It wasn't that bad.
Story-wise, not that bad. Considering the fact that the first three X-Men films that came out before it looked better with CGI, was...
The claws were a little wild in Origins, yeah.
They're like watercolor painted.
They were brand new.
Yeah,
they were brand new.
I guess if, yeah. But I watched that the original X-Men film from 2000, I think, is when it came out, and then X2 are the ones that I watched. But I did start watching the Three Body Problem on Netflix as well.
Nice. We're gonna start that tonight.
Yeah, I got through the first two episodes. I'm hooked on it. But I had to make the responsible decision, because we were recording today, to not binge all eight episodes and be up until like 7 in the morning. I really would have. And then I think something that we both watched was Roadhouse. What about you?
I'm not a huge fan of the show. No offense to anybody involved. I've been kind of just watching Supernatural for fun, I guess. But Roadhouse was fun. I really liked that. Not as much as I told you guys, or told you friends, like weeks ago, that if I don't see Conor McGregor's throat get ripped out, I'm going to be pissed. And it did not fucking happen. Spoiler alert. He does get like fucked up, but he doesn't die, which is dumb.
That part was what bothered me the most, because I was like, it's a different type of final kill. And we learn that he doesn't die during the mid-credit scene.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he gets stabbed with, like, pieces of the bar.
Mm.
And then those pieces are then grabbed out of him and stabbed into different places. And I was like, that's so fucking brutal. It, like, just metal, you know? Like, it was a...
Not as brutal as getting your Adam's apple ripped out.
Absolutely not. I completely agree. It was not nearly as cool of a final death or as brutal. But it,
'cause you haven't seen the original, and I sent you the clip of the ending of the original, and it's way cooler. Please.
It is way. You don't have you don't have to beg. The other one is way cooler. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, this was very enjoyable for what it was. I would put it in the realm of John Wick films.
Some of the commentary was, or some of the, like, the writing was pretty god awful.
I mean, John Wick. You think, so does this mean you're back?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'm back. Yeah, like, I'm Batman. Like, come on.
Where are they? Yeah.
Where's the trigger?
There's like a fight scene, like the end fight scene, where Conor McGregor is like banging Jake Gyllenhaal's head against a piano, and Jake Gyllenhaal's like, the piano sounds out of tune, and then Conor McGregor slams his head into it again, and he goes, sounds pretty good to me. And it was just like, come, literally, you guys, I literally rolled my eyes at it and just went, Jesus Christ, that was so bad. So. But the movie overall, I'll sail it. It was good. It was a fun watch.
Yeah, go watch
it. It's not a fucking shot-for-shot remake of the first one. So if that's what you're expecting, you're not going to like it. But if you go into it knowing that it's just a fun action movie about the same kind of premise of the original, it's enjoyable. So don't be a twat about it. You'll like it.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was fun. There were some funny parts.
There was a lot of funny parts. The crocodile eating the guy? Hilarious. Hilarious.
Conor McGregor and Jake Gyllenhaal on a raft, like a motorized raft, and he's like, looks like we have our own personal octagon. And then Jake Gyllenhaal goes, who taught you shapes? Funny.
The back of a boat.
Yeah. Funny. Fun. Good fight. Good fighting sequences. Good fight choreography.
Because Connor helped the fighting choreography. He was like, hey, do this. Twist your arm like this. Make it look, this is what we do in the cage. It makes it look more realistic for doing a MMA thing. And then the other side of that was Conor McGregor kept punching Jake in the face by accident because he can't differentiate between fake fighting and real fighting. Hilarious.
That's amazing. I love that. I would love to see, like, behind the scenes of Conor McGregor, like, squaring up and Jake Channel being like, wait. Don't hit me.
Overall, good movie.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Very fun.
It's free on Prime if you have Prime.
Yeah.
If not, you know, you'll have to pay for it. So.
Go watch it. You know, as we close out this episode, we do... Wow.
Yeah.
As we close out this episode, we do want to give a huge shout-out to Marty over at DigiCat Tech. He's doing so much for us, helping us revamp our website, doing digital marketing, everything like that. So if you are someone that is in need of a digital marketing strategy, help revamping any sort of your web design, online presence, anything like that, please reach out to him. He is incredible. He's so thorough, constantly checking in with us on everything. Check that out. Also, we do have another podcast called The Kobolds in the Basement Podcast. It's a live play D&D podcast hosted by myself. If you're into D&D, check it out. Jake was a guest on it. Also, the best way to support this podcast, if you want to do that, is to give us your money. please. The best way to do that is go over to buymeacoffee.com/allthingsnerd. Let us know that it is this podcast, not the Kobolds podcast, that sent you that way. That way you can get some member-exclusive merch that reflects your podcast of choice. If you don't want to do that, I mean, lame, but we get it. You can always check out the allthingsnerdpod.com website for some merch. One-time purchases, still a great way to support the show. Or just like, share, subscribe, tell the people that you care about this, where to check us out. It's a great way to support us. Sorry for steamrolling all that, Jake, so you don't get to say, give us your money, but you can say it now if you want.
Nope.
Okay, give us your money. We love you. We appreciate you, and this has been the All Things Nerd Podcast.